Welcome to the NOLA Babes. This is a podcast centered around women from New Orleans who have beaucoup things to offer. Well, we joke about everything from New Orleans culture to womanhood. We might even mention your trade. We promise to forever put on 5 City and keep it 100% real with you. You hear me? Let's rock with it.
Episode four,
and we are with a guest, a special guest.
A special guest for season three.
Our first guest of season three.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so we have introducing you guys the one and only Sierra from New Orleans, the best city in the world.
The best city.
Hey, Sierra, how you doing? How you feeling?
How are y'all? That's the perfect New Orleans way to start it off. How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing? That's right. Basically, yes, that is our saying. And then all we do is just be like, good, I'm good. How you doing? How you doing?
You never answer the question. You just be like, how you doing? How you doing? And
you answer the question by asking a question.
Yeah. That is so true. That is so true. Yes. So we have Sierra joining in with us today for our episode. And we're just going to talk about her business and what she does, her platform, her amazing platform. But first, let's talk about what's trending in the world. What social media? You know, social media.
Social media. What is going on right now?
What is going on? Wow. So
we're in Houston.
We're in Houston.
And
everything always happening in Houston.
Y'all wide open too, huh?
Wide open.
Now, one thing I will say is that I went to the grocery store yesterday and literally people have stopped wearing their masks.
Yes. Yes.
That's why. Like, I was just like amazed by the amount of people in the grocery store that don't have their mask on anymore.
That's why I don't know why the CDC is telling us, like, y'all good. Like, if you're fully vaccinated, you can do this, this, and this, no mask. I'm like, people weren't listening before. Like,
yeah.
Let's not jump ahead.
Please not jump the gun. Yeah, it's scary. So I got in a car accident. Oh, first wreck ever. These people drive so crazy. Ooh. Like, so fast, but I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. My little car got a little messed up, but we're gonna fix it. So I was out today going looking for like auto shops and repair shops, and these people didn't have their mask on either. Oh, I was like, mask.
So wait, you feel crazy. Like,
yeah.
Now you feel crazy. Girl, they was tweaking to take off that mask. I know they was tweaking to take off that mask.
They was.
The stand is hot, but yeah, that's what's normal now. Like, I feel crazy without it.
Same. And I haven't got sick, like the common cold. I'm prone to getting sick with the common cold. I have not got sick this entire year. Well, for a year.
Right. Nothing else. Right. They're just good to show you. It's like airports and hospitals, like we should have been having masks on. Why are you playing?
Please say
something. For real. It's crazy. Anything happen with these celebrities though? Like, I haven't been on it because I've been dealing with this situation.
Yeah, and ever since I started working, you know, I be on Instagram, I be on social media, but I be trying to take a break at the same time. Mm-hmm. I get overwhelmed. Like, yeah. Really fast.
It's a lot.
Trying to, like, break away from it.
It's a lot.
Because you consume that, and then you look up, it's been 5 hours, and you've been in the same spot.
Like, girl, TikTok takes all my time.
All of my precious time.
I love TikTok, though. It's so informative. Like, people think it's for kids, but it's informative.
I refuse to download a new app. So I'm like TikTok through Twitter. Like, I get it like after the fact. Cause I'm like, cause even when like Clubhouse and stuff was a thing, I was like, I'm not downloading nothing else. I can't. Like,
Oh yeah, I was on Clubhouse for a little second.
Clubhouse, mm-hmm. like literally, it was there was a birth of Clubhouse.
It came and went.
And there was a death.
Yeah,
of
Clubhouse. Like this is the new thing, and it was just gone after like a couple of months.
Wow. I know, like it was a few weeks. The people was on it and then gone.
Uh-huh. All it took was like those celebrities fussing with people in the,
right.
the audience,
dropping in. And then you and know was, what happened? People went back outside too. That's what it was. Because I feel like it was a good little like okay, like verses, but verses stuck. But like with Clubhouse, it was like oh, like we wish we had this the whole pandemic and then outside open like. Y'all having real events now. You don't need Clubhouse.
Yeah.
For real.
That's true.
That is so crazy. We was really on Clubhouse. Girl, they had a whole bunch of different topics. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad it's gone, though, because it was kind of toxic.
It really was.
Yeah.
It really was.
That's what it was like, Twitter without video.
Without fingers, yeah.
Yeah, Twitter without the fingers.
And how did coordinated who can talk and who can't, because I was like if I get in there and it's like a hot topic and I'm fussing with people, I'm gonna be mad if like people 50 people trying to talk over me.
No, so it's kind of like an actual stage, like it's kind of like Zoom if you've ever been like in education and you have to mute everybody. Yeah, so it's like you have a stage and you have like host on the stage and they let you up. So you raise your hand, like you're in class, and they will let you up. So that's how it was, but it still was just like a mess. Like poor app, it didn't stand a chance.
It did. Yeah, I am kind of glad it's over with because people was giving false information at the same time.
Yeah, and that was but that's media, social media.
Right.
That's true. That is true. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know what's going on with these celebrities. I try not to keep up with them too much. But you have anything?
No.
Sierra?
I feel like the only thing I saw, because like you, like I'll get on and be like, let me get off. Like, I'm going to be on here all day. I know today, I think DJ Khaled album dropped. So people was like posting. It was like mixed reviews though. Because it's like, people were like going in about like, why do they were like it's not features, it's hostages. Like it's because you know he always got a good lineup. Like you know that
is like, hilarious. That's so funny.
Why y'all playing with DJ Khaled? We had some good songs. Like
what he did?
And y'all know that man don't rap. Like that's not even what he do.
He's a producer.
Yeah,
and I'm like honestly though. My thing is, I'm like, at least somebody getting all of these people together. Because it's people you normally aren't even going to see. Like, people don't do features like that no more. The head, like, you know, the big names.
Yeah.
So, if I'm seeing Jay-Z and Nas featured on the song, and, like, Wayne and Jeremiah featured on the song, and Drake got, like, three features.
I love
like,
singer voice, yeah.
All right, I'm going to still listen to it. Like,
yes. Girl, I'm going to have to check that out, because I did not know he had an album dropping.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, and I think it was, like, a big thing, because I don't know if Beyonce is really on it, or if they were, like, making that up. I don't know.
Probably some vocal stuff, girl.
Right.
Probably something way in the back.
I'm about to say. No, why y'all playing though? I really think like I didn't even listen to the whole thing, but from Twitter, what I could grasp was that like she said she sang like "Hey" and the beginning of one, and it was like, oh my god.
Girl, I love Beyonce though. Like that is I love
her. I don't care. I love her.
That is funny.
I love her. Every post, like.
Exactly. I'm like, how do I turn your notifications on? When Beyonce was like, stop, I gotta make sure she didn't drop something, huh? It's pictures. Okay.
World stop. She said it.
All right now, guys. Girl. That's how I feel about Rihanna, so I really can't talk.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. That's funny. But y'all, I mean, we know the world is always full of stuff and drama. We can't keep up with everything, but this was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and jump right into it, y'all.
Okay. Welcome back, guys. So as you mentioned earlier, we are with the Miss Sierra Chenier. And today we're going to talk about her and all her accomplishments and her platform and what she got going on. So, Sierra, right now what I'm going to go ahead and let you do is introduce yourself, though. Because I feel like you can introduce yourself better than I can. So, go ahead.
So, as mentioned, my name is Sierra Shenye. My platform is Noir Nola, and I created this to preserve the history, the culture, and the soul of Black New Orleans. And basically, mostly this is through writing and through different creative projects, but the emphasis on history was just so important to me, especially, you know, we are Katrina babies, and like seeing so much of my New Orleans, so much of my childhood and what I think of New Orleans growing up change or, you know, be destroyed completely. That emphasis on history became so important because my New Orleans became history. So the further I started to like dig back, and there was just so many things I started to learn, and you know, just we know the contributions of Black people to the country, but the role of Black people in New Orleans and New Orleans's role to the world is often overlooked. And I really wanted to create something, especially in a time of a new Orleans where we're seeing so much change and kind of, you know, put our feet in the ground and say, this is who we are, this is what we come from, and this is my way of preserving these stories. So yeah.
Wow, see, that was I appreciate that, you know, that was nice. Is there anything that you wanted to ask real quick?
No.
Okay. Right. I was just going to go ahead and ask, like, okay, so, you know, I heard, like, the whole beginning process of why you started it, but for you, like, when did you really start to get that vision?
Mm-hmm. So, I feel like, looking back on it, I feel like I was always this person. Like, now that I look back, I'm like, okay, I was always interested in these things. You know, I look back at some of the conversations that I had, some of the projects that I had, and it's like I was always this person, but it was never formalized like in this way of this platform. And the push to really, you know, set that in stone and make it something that was solid and more concrete was simultaneously with I graduated from LSU, was staying in BR, graduated, moved back home. Granted, was home every week, but it's, you know, when you home, I hadn't started working yet. And it was just like, just my day-to-day, like, interactions, running errands. And it was just like, this thing is really changing. And we saw it massively, like, in the past 15 years, but it kind of, that was kind of like the night and day, like, the contrast for me. On top of the fact, you know, so many people that were close to me were losing their lives to gun violence. And as we know, so many of those issues aren't just at the surface level. It's things that are so deeply rooted. You know, you can't just talk about crime, especially not crime in New Orleans, without talking about poverty and mental health. And like, there's so many factors. And New Orleans is an example of that. And seeing that simultaneously with so much of the city changing, it was like, I need to create something that kind of tied the two together of like, here's the why, and let's take it further back. Because I think a lot of times we get stuck talking about these things at the surface level. Mm-hmm. And we kind of miss the point, and we have to dig a little bit further and address things, which is, you know, the history.
That is definitely true. Yeah, we have to dig deeper. But I did hear you mention that you went to LSU. So what did you get your degree in? Journalism, or what was it?
So I changed my major so many times. It was like, one thing I was consistent about, though, was my African-American studies classes. And okay. So that was my minor. But I started in political science, bounced to journalism, I bounced to sociology, like moved all over the place and ended up finishing. Because then it got to the point, it was like, it's time for me to get out. Like, you know, like, let me get out in these 4 years and get this political science degree. And even though that wasn't the path that I wanted to take, because towards like upon like graduating, it was very clear of like, oh, you major in political science, like you must want to go to law school, or you want to be a politician. I was like, no, like I couldn't really say exactly what I wanted to do, but I knew it wasn't that. And I think taking those classes, I am glad that I bounced around a lot because I got to learn so much more perspective in all of those like humanities courses, but also just realizing in taking political science classes, I'm like, there's so many other ways to like influence policy, to change lives, to, you know, really do the work without holding a position of power, if that makes sense. So it really kind of went through all of that just to say, I like being more so like on the outside of that and taking the approach of how like art and, you know, your words and just like leadership can really make change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What I really like about your platform is just the fact that like you are very young, mm-hmm. and you are talking about something that's very serious, mm-hmm. that, you know, can really capture the eye of people that are our age, mm-hmm. to help them better. Mm-hmm. Right. I really do appreciate, and I have to give you your props for that.
Yeah,
thank you.
You really stick to New Orleans. You definitely put on for our city and give the history in a way that millennials understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I was going to ask you too is, do you think you consider yourself a young activist for African Americans and or New Orleans?
Well, thank you to everything y'all just said. And I will say, like, that aspect of like being young and, you know, it resonating with people. I try to do it in a way where it's like, you know, the history, some, you can find these in library books. You can find this on like academic journals and research databases. It's very hard to read through. And a lot of the times the people that wrote it aren't the people that look like you and me. And so I wanted to make something that I always write how I talk. So anybody that knows me or doesn't know me, but you from New Orleans, if you read an article, it's seamless because you talk the same way. We say, I'm throwing jokes in there and you know what I mean. Like, you know, and so, I think that's important so that you know who it's for. If I was trying to make it real clear cut and real professional and really wordy, and it would be like, who is this intended for? But if it's intended for us, then I just want it to feel like a conversation. And so to your question, I wouldn't consider myself, I think activism is like a result of some of this. Like, I think activism is definitely a factor. I've never been very clear on like, what do we consider an activist? You know, like, is that the people that are on ground, like, leading protests, like in the streets, because I'm more behind the scenes. I like, you know, I'm the writer, like I'm keeping the record. I'm like, you know, so, but as we know, there's so many, you know, leaders in Black community that we can name this who were activists in their own realms, like James Baldwin, or, you know, and so, you know, does that mean you have to be like, almost like a huge figure, or can you be like on the sideline and still be considered that? So I think I will say that I think that people trust my voice, and that I really appreciate that. And I think that was something that had to be earned. Like, I don't think I could just be up here saying anything and people are gonna fall for it just because it's me. I think I had to earn that in, you know, from when I was in eighth grade, kind of talking about these same type of things, but learning more, growing more, understanding more, and kind of formalizing that in a way to where, you know, it resonates with all of us. And then I feel like activists aren't like self-appointed in a way. Like, I feel like people hold you to that standard. Like, if people are like out the gate, like, I'm an activist, they probably not, you know, like, it's whatever people want to refer to me as. If that's what they think, then that's, you know, I think that's, again, like something that's like earned, not given.
All right. So like, let's also talk about like where your inspiration comes from when it comes to like you actually writing your stories, because I was definitely on your page stalking. And, you know, I saw that you wrote about Wayne. I saw you wrote about, you know, our voodoo queen, even though we just talked about her on our last
episode. I listened to it. Y'all did a good job.
But yeah, so like, where do you get like your inspiration from your stories? Is it like from passed down stories that you talk to your family about? Or is it something that you like just possibly see on Twitter and be like, oh, this is interesting, let me go look this up? So
yeah, I think it's a variety. Like starting out, it was definitely like those stories that, because as you know, growing up in New Orleans, we there's just certain oral histories we just know. And like, you know, whether that's, you know, the pig people, whether that's, no, for real, like, whether it's the pig people, if it's, you know, the levees being blown up and the night ward. Like, I remember my grandma telling me about shopping on Claiborne Avenue, it being a Black-owned business district before I ever, like, read that somewhere. And it was like, oh, that's what she was talking about back then. So it's like, it's so many things we grew up hearing and knowing, but because it wasn't presented to us the same way, like, U.S. history, quote-unquote, is presented to us, it was digested in a different way. So I think it's, like, a combination. Like, I think I always say, like, when it comes to writing an article, I always feel like I let the stories come to me. Like, I don't like forcing. Like, it's weird. Like, I'll come across something and like, you know, somebody I know might be like, this is really cool, you should write about this next or something like that. I'm like, I can't like do it like that. Like, it's gotta just like, I stumble upon it. Because what I've noticed, all the articles that you said that you saw, a lot of them came about because it was kind of on my mind heavy. And then you start kind of go through a rabbit hole of like research for a couple of months. And then it's like, to me, the green light is when I start seeing things relating to the thing that I'm studying. And that's how I know I'm supposed to be writing about it. Like when I was working on the Marie Laveau article, because I did that one on my page and I did one on Essence too. And it was like both times in the period of that, like research is things resurfacing. It might be I'm scrolling on Facebook and it's like somebody posts something about Marie Laveau, or you know, you walking in the French Quarter and you pass up her house, not on purpose. So it's like, I feel like those are kind of like my signs of like, this is the frame of mind that I'm in. This is what I need to be writing about. And of course, like with COVID, it's made it difficult, like in the past like year or so, just because kind of the way my process works is I find whatever that topic is and I'm interested in it for a while. I do all the research, and the last step before I start writing, I have to like walk wherever it is. So, and that's why it's like, I mean, I have to be in the city. Like I started on Arnola when I was still in Baton Rouge, but it was like, low-key like a disconnect, like for certain things. It was like at certain times I would be like, I wait till I go home to kind of wrap up the article, because it was like we just have so much history still here, whether there's a marker, whether there's a sign, you know, or whether it's torn down, to be able to like go to wherever that spot was is kind of like what I need to do in order to piece that whole story together. And I think that's a benefit too, because not everybody is able to say, you know, they can kind of put a face to a name and visit the actual site and then, you know, write about it.
That's awesome.
No, that's crazy, because like, I really do feel like New Orleans is like a very spiritual place,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And see exactly like, you know, what you're meaning and, you know, how things can come to you. Cause I'm like really big on like the universe and stuff like that, but I can see exactly how it could come to you like that.
Mm-hmm.
There and just feeling it, just having those emotions. But that's amazing.
I know, that's the part about it.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the benefit of being a native, because it's like, you know, people come to New Orleans and study New Orleans all the time for a couple of months and then they go back to wherever they came from, right? But it's like y'all not getting called to these stores the same way we are, you know. It's just, it's a different feeling when, you know, you're from here and your people are here.
What is your favorite NOLA facts or stories, either that you wrote about or that you want to write about?
I think I would just say the first one that came to mind. Like, I think that one really good aspect of history to remember is Congo Square. Like, I think even just like the location, knowing that kind of the early history of the city was, you know, the French Quarter, or considered to be just the French Quarter. And when you have all these like enslaved and free Black people working in the quarter, living in the quarter, and on Sundays, the only day given to have a day of rest. And we used to go down in Congo Square. It's just like nothing existed to that extent for that long anywhere else in the country. And it's like, it's, I think it's so important to me because it's so fire that the tradition continues. You will go to Congo Square on Sunday at 3 o'clock and you're going to hear them drums. And that's just like, you know, there's a lot that's always going on in New Orleans. There's a lot changing in New Orleans, but I really do love when we like keep those traditions. You know, we got the Indians and things like that. But it's like, you know, to say that history of Congo Square, and it was more than just, you know, the drum and circles. You had entrepreneurs who probably weren't referring to themselves as entrepreneurs, but Black women selling pralines and, you know, candy and sweets, and sometimes was making enough money to purchase themselves out of slavery. And it's like, you know, and then you had Marie Laveau, who lived right up the street, walk up and lead a lot of ceremonies in Congo Square. And it was just that spirit, I think, is something that, as you mentioned, New Orleans being such a spiritual city, but we are so lucky to just still have that piece of land that holds so much history. And it's like, whatever's going down in the quarter is going down in the quarter, but Congo Square, that's really like a sacred space. And we are really lucky that, you know, something like that has been preserved to this day.
And for those who are listening, where is Congo Square located? Who might not know?
Congo Square is located on North Rampart Street, which is literally the street right behind the French, but like right where the Treme starts, the historically Black neighborhood.
All right. So, Sierra, for those of you who, because we are millennials, and what message you might say who are looking at your platform and inspired by you, what would you do or what would you do to encourage our people of our age and younger to become more involved in our city?
I'd say, one, pay attention to what's going on now. I think, you know, there's so many things that, like, I mean, we just talked about Congo Square. They're trying to move City Hall to Congo Square. And there's a fight around that, because it's like that question of preservation, and, you know, because they have that abandoned auditorium and they want to put it to use as City Hall. But I think, you know, we can never like distance ourselves from history. So, you know, of course, study the history, but pay attention to what's going on now, because there's not anything we're dealing with now that you can't trace back to, you know, a lot of these older stories and our histories. And, you know, I don't know if y'all saw fairly recently the new calls to tear down Claiborne Avenue, to tear down the bridge. And it's like, you know, that's connected to, you know, there's so many conversations around that of, you know, a interstate that was put through a Black community, thriving Black community, but would taking away the interstate solve that necessarily? Or are y'all trying to gentrify this? Like, why do you really want to take down a bridge? You know, so yeah. There's so many things that we have to connect the dots to. And I'd say the other thing is kind of like looking within, looking internally, you know, tracing your family's history, and that can just talking to your parents and your grandparents, you know, just to get a better understanding of like your place. Because we talk about history and we'll bring up like, you know, so many like figures that, you know, you can Google their names, but history is also your great great grandfather that, you know, may have integrated a school, or may have, you know, great great grandmother who, you know, sued the city council for a plot of land or something. You know, that's still part of the city's fabric. So I think, you know, paying attention to what's going on now and making those connections, and then also just looking internally.
Yeah, I agree. So, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, so we're talking about the city right now, we're talking about the city heavy. So what would you say as of right now, you feel like the city of New Orleans needs? Or what can you appreciate? If you don't think, there's things,
I'm like, where do we start?
there's room for improvement, but if we do want to take it on a lighter note, like, what can you appreciate as of now? Because there's a lot of things I feel like are happening in the city of New Orleans that are good, especially like for people our age. But I'll let you answer.
Yeah, I think that, I think despite all that we know that we've been through, whether you want to talk about 300 plus years ago or you want to talk about just 15 years ago, I think I really appreciate our just like dedication and willingness to saying like, no, like this is our home. Like there's never been a point in time or a point in history where New Orleans, Black New Orleans people have ever just like laid down and died. That we don't take that. You know, we always say resilient, but it's like we fight to the very end and we know that. And especially to your point around like just like our age group, I think we're the ones. Like I think we're at a point where we did experience Katrina. For the most part, a lot of us were younger, but we're inheriting all the mess that came post Katrina. And I think we're kind of the ones putting our foot down saying like, this is our home. Like whether you're displaced in Houston or whether you're still in the city, it's a matter of like, y'all not about to take New Orleans and run with it. And I think especially like as we grow older and, you know, we have so many people that do so many different things. And I think what's really good to see is kind of a lot of people being on the same page of that, of like, nah, like y'all not about to just pick one off of New Orleans and kind of take it and run with it. It's, you know, social media has its downsides, but you know, when we see something from the city being taken and run with it, we call it out, like, you know, in ways that we probably couldn't have before. And, you know, I think we're becoming so much more aware because it's affecting us now. You know, when we were 12, we might not have been worried about like affordable housing crisis, but we the ones trying to get apartments and houses now. So, you know, we've inherited a lot of these issues. So it's personal. And I'm glad that we're taking it personal because I think that's what's going to make the change.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I heard that you pointed out, like, we call it out.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about the music real. Like, we could talk about that. You know, mm-hmm. How do you feel about the lack of representation New Orleans gets when our music sound is not becoming mainstream?
I will say, when it's a New Orleans artist being featured or a New Orleans producer getting credited, I don't have no problem. Because to me, that's a hit. Like, you know, if Black and Mild getting paid for this, like, Frida getting a check, okay. Like, I'm good with that. Like, but the issue when you hear the watered down bounce beats, when you hear, you know, words that we only use, or, you know, when you see kind of like taken off from the Hot Boys and from the 90s and stuff like that. And it's like, it's problematic even more so because we lost so many of our artists, bounce and rappers, and mm-hmm. When was the last time we put out a mainstream rapper? Like a younger rapper, you know, Jay Electronica just got nominated for a Grammy, and our you know, PJ Martin and, you know, John Pat, oh, they're killing it. They're absolutely killing it. But as mm-hmm. far as rap, you know, Jay Elect came out a long time ago, you know, so we should be pushing. We have so much talent here. So it's like, we should be seeing our artists reaching to the level of like how Atlanta is pushing artists out, you know, and it's New York is pushing artists out. And to not see our people on that same level, but the sound is being used here and there, that's problematic to me. I love when people show love. Like, I love a sample, you know, as long as they get their credit. If somebody down here getting a check, I don't care. But because I will tell you, the importance of a sample, the first time I really, really realized that was when, for my friend's birthday, she wanted to go to Paris right before COVID hadn't hit yet. We by the skin of our teeth. Mm-hmm. We were in a club for her birthday in Paris. Drake's song came on. It was Was It Nice for What? Yeah. It was Nice for What is the one with Shawty on it, huh?
Yeah.
Or is it In My Feelings?
No, In My Feelings is
I think
the one.
It is Nice for What.
Yeah, it's Nice for What.
It's Nice for What. Okay. Yeah. And so it came on in the club, and it's like they playing all American music. So it's like you're hearing Cardi B and all these other songs back to back. But then Drake comes on, and it was like I almost like froze for a second. I'm like, I hear Magnolia Shorty's voice in the club in Paris. Like, what is going on? And that's when it hit me. And it's like, you know, it's good to see, but at the same time, she not here, you know? So it's like, you know, it's good. Families are still getting a check, and you know, her name is world renowned now, but we need to do better by our artists while they're still here. You know, we had so many. So how do we get to that level? Because it's not like it hasn't been done before.
Facts.
It wasn't at a point in time where it was like, I feel like people used to tell us, like, it was like, well, Bounce can't go mainstream because of what's said. And we've seen Frida do it in a perfect way of, like, going mainstream. Frida got commercials and everything else. So it's like, that was one way of doing it. But we're also just like, female rap is what New Orleans Bounce artists are talking about. Like, what are you doing? So it's like, there's really no reason why we couldn't and shouldn't be at the forefront of all of this. It's crazy.
Lil Kim could do it. Megan could, Stallion could do it. I mean,
no, all the girls are doing it right now.
Yeah.
Cardi,
yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Okay, so Sierra, we're going to wrap it up a little bit, but we want to know, who inspires you the most with your noir in New Orleans and also just being who you are?
I'd say I'm going to go really broad, and then I guess I'll go specific. So, of course, I'm inspired by my family. I think, you know, there's so much of what my family embodies that furthers my appreciation for New Orleans. Like, you know, I can't disconnect myself from the stories that I write about or that I talk about, because it's like, okay, if I'm talking about the Seven Ward during this time period, how can I not, you know, refer that to my family who was living there during that time? Or if I'm talking about home ownership in New Orleans East, how can I not think about my parents who bought their first home in New Orleans East? So it's like, I definitely say my family, and then in the broader sense, just Black New Orleans in general. This is where I constantly get my inspiration from. You know, just the other day, they was joking about something, and it was like, you know, New Orleans people gonna make you laugh, because we don't take nothing serious. Like, we do, but we don't. Like, you're not. And I love the fact that, like, we don't let nobody play with us. So it's like, we'll talk about, you know, there's so many deeply rooted issues for a number of different reasons beyond us, but it's we know how to come together when push come to shove. And I love when, whether it's on social media or just in real life, I'm like, when the city just like go to war and be like, you're not gonna play with New Orleans. And when you see that so many times, it could be something so minor of like, New Orleans food not good as food in Lafayette or whatever. And it's like, why would you tweet that? They about to go in on you. Your whole Twitter about to get deleted.
Why would you say that?
Yeah. that. For real. Facts, though. Yeah, we go hard.
Yeah.
We go hard.
It's defensive, but we got every right to be. I mean, there's so many reasons for that. Like, we saw that during Katrina. It was like, was going through this horrible major thing, but it was like, you weren't gonna tell us nothing because we was from New Orleans.
And, like, something that people never really seen. I mean, we seen it in previous hurricanes, but to live it was different. It was like, we gonna stick together, and we coming out this thing strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we definitely go hard for us. We go hard for our city. And I think honestly think other people from other cities do appreciate us. Do you think the West Bank is still New Orleans?
So let me tell you why the West Bank is New Orleans. Well, Algiers, you know, is still technically Orleans Parish. And so I wrote an article about Algiers a while back, And because I feel like any place where there is Black people, we need to take a deeper dive and be appreciative of that. Because where there's Black people, there's culture. Where there's Black people, there's contributions and all of that. And so, you know, Elgin's Point used to be a plantation. And when the city, the Algiers is as old, nearly as old as the French Quarter. So like when all the hustle and bustle was happening in the Quarter, they were bringing them enslaved people to Algiers Point. And so much so to where they say that it got its name because the river has like pushed further back since then. But supposedly the point was even, you know how close it is to ferry across. They yeah. said that looking on from the French Quarter, you would see all those Black people that were being held in slave pens in Algiers. To them, it looked like Algeria in Africa. For mm-hmm. all the Black people and called it Algiers. And a lot of people, they... The...
Girl, with you. Girl, so sorry. Bye.
But yeah, they had all these enslaved people. It was the King's Plantation, the Company Plantation, Duverger Plantation, had all these different names, but the main house was Algiers Courthouse. And they have, you know, Powder Street over there in Algiers. It apparently used to have like a powder magazine where they had like gunpowder and stuff like that. And because you had so many Black people being held over there, the white people were basically like, okay, if they ever revolt, we're gonna blow up the magazine. Like, and but I mean that's not powerful, but the fact that we had so many people over there to where that could have been possible is incredible. But the reason of why they're being there was so horrible and traumatic. But I mentioned all of this to say that, you know, once kind of, you know, slavery ended and, or, you know, people are, because either they were ferried over to the French Quarter to be sold for auction or were still living and working on that plantation. But eventually those families started to move off the plantations and started settling the other areas of the West Bank and going further and further out. You know, at one point they were all swampland. And so we really cannot play on this area of New Orleans because it's like that would just be taking out a whole chunk of the history. Like,
come on.
Granted, we know Algiers is Orleans Parish, but even when you go further and further out, a lot of like, how long has your family been on the West Bank?
So my dad's from Holly Grove and my mom's from Marrero. So they're about in their 50s.
Mm-hmm. And like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I had no knowledge of the West Bank until after Katrina. Cause you know, before the storm, we stayed where we were. Like if you didn't have reason to leave your neighborhood, you didn't have to leave.
Yeah.
And so it really wasn't until after Katrina. It's like, you know, you go to your schools in your area too. So I'm meeting people who've literally been on the West Bank. Their families have been on lives. And there's a history there. And I won't doubt that these are descendants of those same people who move further and further out from King's Plantation and things like that. But that land has been there as long as, you know, we've had the city.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
The wow. Moon. I know. Our history. Our New Orleans Black history is amazing. Yeah. So don't play with the West Bank.
I'm like, we can't even try to write it off. Like, we can't try to write it off.
Yeah, I know. I always say I'm from Holly Grove because that's where my daddy from. But I be repping that 17 hoy, but I am truly from the West Bank. I was born in West Jeff Hospital.
Yeah, for sure. But
this whole area.
Yes.
Yes.
So, what you want to do? You want to go to fact or fiction?
Yeah. So, we're going to put it on a little fun note. Yeah.
I know, because look at my phone trying to die.
I know. I know, girl, I got it. But yeah, we're going to end it on a lighter note. But real quick, we're going to ask you this one last question, and then let's go to fact or fiction about New Orleans. So, about your brand, where do you see yourself in the next few years with Noir and Nola?
I see myself, I want to have, like, ideally, under Noir and Nola, I would have multiple things simultaneously. So writing is my passion, and history is always going to be an aspect, but how do I funnel that into different mediums? You know, I want to do more narrations. I enjoy mm-hmm. doing that. I want to do more articles as well. I want to also figure out better ways to reach Black New Orleans across the board. You know, as you mentioned, we're millennials. We're the majority of people that are on social media. I've worked on the social media presence, but how do I reach, you know, our parents and our grandparents' ages? How do I reach those younger than us? So definitely, you know, forming some type of curriculum or trying to really get into some of these schools, because they coming up next after us. And these are histories that I wish I learned, you know, when I was growing up in a formal setting. Yeah, and I think in the next couple of years, I'm going to still be here. So I just, you know, I hope that my place in the city, I would like for Noir Nola, I'd like to be able to say that Noir Nola contributed to this changing New Orleans as a form of like preservation and acting as a voice for, you know, Black New Orleans.
Love that. Yeah. Love that. I'm with it. I'm supporting it. So, hey, if you have something, Dejon is down.
Dejon and Chelsea.
Yes. The Nola Babes is with it.
Yes.
All right, so let's hop into this fact or fiction.
Yeah, let's talk about fact or fiction. So we have a few little questions, and whether or not it's true, you're going to say fact, and if it's false, you're going to say fiction, right? It's all, like, centered around New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So let's put it, like, real New Orleans. That's a lie. Let's go. Okay, whatever y'all want to do. Whatever y'all want to do is cool with me. But I have... two questions.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. All right, you want to go? Okay. All right, so fact or fiction, or what you want to say?
That's a lie.
That's a lie.
I know you lied. All right, okay, so this is the first one. The 7th ward is the largest, biggest ward.
That's true.
Fact or fiction?
It's a big ward.
It is a big ward. I must say, it's a big ward. Everybody from the 7.
It's between the 7 and the 9 is big, because it's the east and it's across the canal and it's. I gotta go with the 9th ward.
It's the 9th ward. 9th ward. It's the 9th ward.
We like to think of the 9th ward just like cross the canal, but it's like it's the east, and we know the east is Bukulain, and it's, you know, the quote unquote upper 9, like, yeah. St. Claude area too.
Yeah. Because the same thing when I was looking at, I was like, definitely the 7th ward. I looked up and I was like, oh,
girl,
that
we be forgetting,
sense.
Yeah.
That does make sense.
Cross mm-hmm. the canal.
Yeah.
Yep. That's true. So it's a fact.
Yeah. No, that's
it's a fake.
I mean, it's a fault.
Yeah,
that's a lie.
All right. Cafe du Monde is over 150 years old.
Fake.
Yes, it is 159 years old.
All right. And my last one is it true or false that Antoine's is the oldest family-run restaurant in New Orleans?
Antoine's been there a minute, and so has Brennan's. I gotta go with fact.
It is. Yes, so it is a fact, but mm-hmm. actually Antoine's is the oldest family-run business in the restaurant country? In the country.
Wow.
In the country.
When it was founded?
1830, don't quote me.
Yeah, because they've been there for a minute. And you know that certain restaurants, they like proudly, like if you going on their website, you gotta see that, like
big. They gonna tell you
Brennan's, all like they've been there for a while.
Yes, I thought it was Dookie Chase. I was about to say Dookie Chase.
No, not Dookie, not Miss Dookie Chase,
not Miss Chase, girl. All right, so this is my last one. Is it true that we pronounce New Orleans Nylons?
Not, I know you lying.
Girl, I know you lie.
That's the true test right there, because yeah. Now we good for putting, smushing some words together. Cause I'm like, sometimes when I like honestly, when I hear this playback of this podcast and I hear the way I say New Orleans, I'm gonna be like, why do I say that different every single time? Cause it's, but we don't never say New Orleans.
New Orleans. Orleans. That's what people say. New Orleans, baby. New Orleans or New Orleans, girl.
New Orleans.
Girl, I hate that.
I know.
Just say New Orleans. What is that?
I realized not too long ago, Wayne, like on a couple songs, he'll say New Orleans, but that's different because he was trying to make it rhyme.
Emphasize.
We don't say that like that. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Just like we say Mardi Gras. Forget
that. No, that's funny.
Girl, for real. That is so funny. But yeah, that is so fiction. We lying, y'all lying. Don't say that. Don't say that. It's New Orleans. That's it. Plain and simple. Yes, yes. Well, Sierra, we thank you so very much. We have very so much fun.
Yeah. Yes. Have a great time.
Thank you.
Not to bring you back, girl.
Yes. With the jokes for the next topic.
Yeah, you know we joke.
Yeah, jokes.
All right, girl. We'll catch you on the flip side and stay safe during this pandemic / whatever we're going through.
Right, whatever else come our way. Yeah.
Yes, you guys definitely need to go ahead and follow Sierra.
Yes.
On Instagram. Go ahead. Her Instagram is Noor and Nola, right?
Mm-hmm.
Noor and Nola. And her website is noorandnola.com. And you can also follow her on Twitter. So definitely go ahead and go give her a follow. Go support her.
Yes.
And tell her we sent y'all.
Yeah, tell her we sent y'all. The babe.
Yes.
The babe sent it. If you don't know how to spell it, it is Noorandnola. All right, y'all. See y'all next time.